Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Imagine your adult son telling you that he was headed out for a couple hours and that he would be back later that night. You and your husband go about your Friday night as usual, making dinner, watching TV, and going to bed, only to find out your son never came home. What thoughts would run through your head? Well, he is an adult. Maybe he stayed the night somewhere. Why isn't he answering his phone? Then your worst nightmare comes true when police detectives knock on your front door. Devil We Know contains graphic content and intense subject matter. Listener discretion is advised. Everywhere we look, everywhere we go, every city, every town, every neighborhood, every street, there's a devil we know. This is Devil We Know. I am your host, Aaron. Jesse Hauser grew up outside of Williamsport, Ohio, which is about roughly 40 minutes from Ohio's capital of Columbus. It's a very rural area, with farmland taking up most of the acreage. Jesse was a fun, loving boy who excelled in athletics. He loved to fish, and he was a catch-and-release type. He never wanted to do harm to any animals. He was a typical rural Ohio teenager with a huge heart. But then as an adult, Jesse was found in the trunk of his vehicle, which was parked in the rear of 346 South Wayne Avenue. He was pronounced deceased by Columbus Fire Medic number 17 at approximately 8:58 a.m. And it was apparent that he was the victim of a homicide. I was extremely lucky enough to be able to speak with his father, Bill, about his son, Jesse. Bill is a little hard to understand. He has a gruff voice, and this was obviously a little difficult to discuss, so he definitely gets a pass. Bill, I know Jesse was a great athlete, but can you tell me more about him as a kid?
A kind-hearted, tender-hearted. He never, he was real popular in school, and it seemed like he had some sort of magnetism. The kids just flocked to him, you know. And I never heard a single solitary soul. And one night when he's coming home from wrestling practice, one of his teammates brought him home. And but on the way home, his teammate told Jesse that he was gay, and Jesse said, "Well, I don't care that you're gay. You're still my friend." He was just like that. He when he was going into a restaurant, I was seeing somebody homeless person or maybe they're down a lot, he'd go into a restaurant and buy a meal, and then he'd bring a meal out to them and give it to them. And whenever he seen people out with their signs, you know, asking for money and stuff, he'd always stop and give them, you know, a dollar or two. He'd probably, you know, sometimes he'd get, you know, hardly have a dollar or two to give him, but he would give him, you know, the last dime. And I know one time my wife and I was, or my wife and Jesse was going up 71 and to Columbus, and just outside of Columbus a little bit, a northbound lane, they seen a guy and his family broken down, and the wife didn't want him to stop. Anyway, he stopped, and the guy, he needed $20 for a new belt, for his, fan belt for his car, and Jesse gave him his last $10 he had, so, and hoping somebody else would, you know, stop giving him another $10. He was just like that, you know.
As you can see, Jesse was a selfless boy. He was a son you could be proud of, and as I kept talking to Bill, you can hear how much he loved his son, Jesse. Bill, what led Jesse to get into drugs in the first place?
He had his wisdom tooth pulled, or well, not actually pulled, surgery, and they prescribed him that oxycodone after his, you know, surgery for his wisdom teeth. And then another time he, I can't remember, oh, hernia surgery. Yeah, after his hernia surgery, they prescribed him oxycodone again, and I think that's what got him into drugs, you know, because it didn't help him any. So I think that's kind of, plus his, you know, his traumatic brain injury he had from being hit and hit so many times playing football. I think it was just a combination of his surgeries and that, and how he got into drugs. Because okay. I guess that one stuff's real addictive from what the air guy talks and see it on TV, how addicting it is.
Can you elaborate more on Jesse's injuries?
He had a lot of injuries from playing sports. He fractured his wrist. He broke his finger. He broke a femur. And he had several concussions and knocked out twice. One night there at high school football game, he hit so hard that his helmet broke. And I think that's what caused him to have a seizure. And when he had the seizure, we took him to Columbus up there close to Ohio State University. And he had to see a brain doctor. And he did have, they gave him tests and stuff. And he did have traumatic brain injury like the other football players. Pros do. And I think that was because he was, you know, he was hit so hard so many times.
Jesse would become addicted to OxyContin after two surgeries. I did not get into what other drugs Jesse may or may not have taken. I just didn't think it mattered. Jesse had a chemical dependency. Normally, to beat a drug addiction, you have to hit rock bottom. Here's Bill explaining how Jesse got clean and what his rock bottom was.
I don't remember what he took to get clean, but how he got clean was, I forget where me and my wife was, but she got a call on her phone, it was Columbus policeman, and he was at Riverside Hospital, and the policeman had found him dead, and they had to give him two of those shots to bring him back around. So he told me, you know, he wanted to commit suicide. So we was able to have him committed because he was having troubles before this, you know. And we tried to get him into some place for a mental health system. But the way the laws are, you couldn't, if he's 18, you couldn't have it committed. He had to do something like that. And that's how he got clean, because once he went to the emergency room, they took him to a Dublin Springs. It's a rehab place for mental health and things like that.
We will be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Courtney.
And I'm Andre L.
And we're the hosts of Spellcast,
a podcast that seeks to bridge the gap between the mundane and the occult.
Join us every Friday night for a new episode.
We cover everything from candle magic to Kabbalah.
You can follow us at WitchyPage on Instagram and Facebook, and also email us at witchypage@gmail.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
If you really like the show, you can donate on anchor.fm and soon Patreon. All of our supporters get special perks and extra content, so join our coven.
And remember,
there's a little witch in all of us.
And the spirits live in the mirror.
On the night of July 6, 2017, Jesse went out for a couple hours, and the next morning he was found dead. Here is Bill explaining the events that happened.
He was, Friday evening. He was going up to Columbus, and he told his mom, he said, well, I'll be back in a couple hours. Well, he wasn't back in a couple hours, and, you know, and all night long she tried to get a hold of him, couldn't get a hold of him or anything. And I don't know how many times she tried to get a hold of him. She kept, why, there's something wrong with this, something happened to Jesse. And I had my fingers crossed, you know, that he was maybe staying with his girlfriend all night. But that wasn't the case. Saturday morning, we went down to the bank because he wanted his mom to get money out of his account for him. So when we went down there to get money out of his bank account, he had no money left in his bank account. He just got paid that day. And his account, and I don't know how it did it, but he was overdrawn by $467. And how they did that, I don't know. But so he come home, still hadn't heard from him or anything about, oh, I suppose about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, or that morning, Saturday morning, had a knock on the door, and opened up the door, and, you know, the officer said, well, this is the home of Jesse Hauser. It was two Columbus detectives. I said, yeah. And so we let him in the house, and, you know, they were saying, well, they had found our car, and he was stuffed in the back of the trunk of it, and he had been shot five times, and I believe it had to be more than one person involved, because Jesse was a pretty strong kid, and they wouldn't have been able to get him in that trunk by himself, because he was shot once in the arm, once in the back, once in the chest, once in the head, and once in the face. So to me, from what you see on TV and everything, you read that had to be a crime of passion.
I think Bill is correct that this was a crime of passion. If this was your normal, typical robbery, I don't think Jesse would have been shot 5 times and then placed into the trunk of his car. His wallet and phone were missing from the scene. I believe Jesse knew who killed him for this reason. Here is Bill reflecting on those events and more about Jesse as a person.
But the detectives was here probably for about 2 hours before they could actually confirm his death. But, you know, they described him as, before they tell us for sure, you know, they seen his the tattoo on his back because he had a big cross. And it says, only God can judge me. And a few months before this happened, we went down to Kentucky, and he wanted to get baptized, so he got baptized. Well, my wife and I also got baptized in a creek down at Paulsburg, Kentucky. Got baptized the old-fashioned way. And but yeah, he's able to get his life straightened back around, and he quit the one job he had, and he got his dream job. Well, he called it his dream job at Dr. Pepper Snapple company up by the airport. And he really loved it up there, and he was only there about a month before his mother. But Jesse was real smart. He always had a knack of how to figure out to do something better or easier. And he'd been there only 10 days, and he ended up loading more trucks than anybody else had had at that period of time when he was hired in. And they gave him a t-shirt. You know, he's really, really big, proud of that t-shirt. Tickled to death to get it. And they're at his funeral the night before the funeral was showing. The plant manager and his foreman came to pay their respect to me because they liked Jesse so well. He's just a good all-around kid. He never heard a single solitary soul. I'd hunted a lot, but he wouldn't hunt because he didn't want to hurt anything. But when he went fishing, it was always a catch and release. He wouldn't, he wouldn't bring any fish home to eat because, he didn't want to. You know, he was a real sensitive kid. He didn't want to see anything hurt, and like his dog, and we still have his dog, but he didn't have her spayed because he didn't want to see her have any pain, things like that.
Bill, do the detectives communicate with you about the investigation? Do they have a suspect?
No, they only told us they were looking for somebody is all they told us. But there you go again. They won't call you back. When you call up there, you can call and call and call and call, and they'll never return a call. And the way I finally got them to return a call was I got on Facebook and asked everybody that noticed if I gave them the detective's name and telephone number. And I asked people to please flood his phone with calls about wanting to know about Jesse, you know. And eventually he did call me, but
this isn't abnormal for families to be completely left out of the loop during an ongoing investigation. I can definitely understand Bill's frustration with the unknown. Jesse's body and car were found in the Hilltop neighborhood of Columbus. It is by no means a nice part of town. Jesse's family believes that because of where he was found, in a bad part of town, that maybe his murder wasn't being taken seriously, as maybe others. As I was doing my research on the Hilltop neighborhood, I started to think, who could I ask more about this part of Columbus, Ohio? So I reached out to the captain from True Crime Garage, because he lives in Columbus, Ohio. I was extremely lucky that he came on the show, and we talked about the case and about the Hilltop neighborhood. Captain, thanks so much for coming on the show. So what can you tell me about the Hilltop neighborhood and why Jesse might have ended up there?
When you look into some of his history, Jesse has these past drug charges, and it makes you wonder, Hilltop would be a place that you would possibly go to, you know, score drugs. There's a lot of, like, especially at night. And the tough thing is we don't know when he arrived in the Hilltop. You know, we don't know if it was, you know, early mornings or if it was late night, because we don't know how long his car was there, technically, right? So, but Hilltop's the place at night. There's nothing good that's going to happen. There's a lot of sex workers. There's a lot of, you know, we call them street walkers here. So there's a lot of that in that area. And there's parts that are right now that people are trying to go in and clean up and kind of revitalize. But there's some rough areas. And on the outside of, like, Hilltop, where most people would be like, oh, yeah, I go to Hilltop all the time, but it's, like, the outside of Hilltop. That, you know, you wouldn't be, you know, 10 o'clock at night or whatever, not so bad.
I know Jesse's supporters are thinking the detectives aren't actively taking this case seriously because his body was found in Hilltop. With living in Columbus and having familiarity with the city, what are your thoughts?
But that's what everybody that has somebody in their family that's a murder victim or somebody that disappeared, it's always the cops are not working hard enough. And the fact of the matter is there's not enough cops. And when we covered the Tyler Davis case, the missing man from Easton Town Center, it's, you know, 8 missing person detectives, over 8,000 cases a year. That's 1,000 cases. I mean, we do 52 cases a year, and I'm pulling my hair out. How could you do 1,000? I mean, they're understaffed and overwhelmed. And it's tough, though, too, because look at, in Jesse's case, here's this kid that was, you know, seems like a somewhat successful high school athlete, seems like he's a good kid, has some surgeries, gets wrapped up in this Oxycontin shit, and then on top of that, it's like, and that's what always happens. That happens so much. These guys get on these drugs because of surgeries, and then that escalates into heroin problems. This is a huge epidemic that it baffles me that more people are not talking about it, or there's not more lawsuits, because you just take one look at a picture of Jesse. He's not a guy that made a bunch of bad decisions that led him down to be a drug addict. This is a guy that had some surgeries that led him down to being a drug addict. And that's not how the healthcare system should work. And then that drug habit is possibly what, you know, got him killed.
Here's the captain expanding more on the location where Jesse was found.
And I'd say the bigger problem in this case is not that he's found in the Hilltop. I mean, yes, that's obviously a problem because, you know, the Hilltop's not a great area. But, you know, just because you're found in the Hilltop, here's the bigger issue. He's from Williamsport. There's not a community that's in an uproar. And if they are, guess what? They're in Williamsport. And they're an hour away. Now, if this guy was, you know, if Jesse was found in the Hilltop, but he was from Dublin, Ohio, or he was from Hilliard, Ohio, there'd be more of a stink about it, because also it's the law, you know, the law enforcement, you know, Jesse was found in the Hilltop. It's from Williamsport. Williamsport law enforcement has a duty to go, hey, he's one of ours.
what is Columbus PD doing to help one of ours? And so sometimes it helps when the local law enforcement from where the person came from to push on the law enforcement of where they're found. So, and there's a lot of, there's a lot of abandoned houses down there. You know, I had a buddy that, like, super old tattoo shop that was down there, and I would get a lot of tattoos down there, but you'd go out, you know, in between, you know, you get your outline of the tattoo, and then they start filling it in, and you have these little moments where you're, you know, you have to go outside to take a break. Again, this was a little bit on the outskirts, so it didn't feel so bad. I didn't feel like I was going to be in such danger, but I was also right outside the door of my buddy's shop. But when we walked in that shop, we locked that door. If you just Google Earth this area, you just do some searches, you will see these are very old houses. They have not been taken care of. Most of them are owned by, you know, slumlords. So, I'm trying to, he was found, it looks like on South Wayne Avenue, and that's right off Sullivan. And Sullivan is not, parts of Sullivan are fine, you know, on one end and the other end, but it's that middle section going through the hilltop where you go, it's a rough area. And it's like, and that to me is, but that the confusing thing is, we don't know if he met somebody up in Dublin, which is a nice, rich area, or if he met somebody in Hilliard, and then they just decided, hey, you know what? We'll drop him off down here, because then people will just assume something bad happened here.
Jesse's car is still at the impound, so nobody is really sure what other evidence was found in the car, such as DNA. Captain and I continue to discuss what might have been the motive for being at the hilltop.
And that's another thing, too. It's like, because the car is impounded, and rightfully so, the family doesn't want anything to do with this car. Did the car die? You know, did the car break down? Because if the car breaks down, then more likely you're just going wrong place at the wrong time. But a negative account, bank account, negative $400 bank account, that makes you think that he was getting money for something. Now, what is he getting money for? Is he getting money for drugs? Is he getting money for sex? Is he getting money for drugs and then to bring the drugs to have a drug sex party? I mean, who knows? I mean, or is it something, did he owe somebody money? Or was he going to buy something off somebody, you know? I was just reading about that case where a girl, a lady was 9 months pregnant. She went to buy some baby clothes off this group off of, like, Facebook Market. And they cut her nine-month-old baby out of her stomach and left her to dead, you know? I've been reading about that today and going, what is wrong with people? So that money, the negative account, to me, that there's some kind of clue there. And he has the bank records. The father has bank records. So they should know where that withdrawal came from. Because if it came from the ATM, it will tell you. And if it's coming from the hilltop, to me, that's a point in a bad direction. That's drugs, sex, whatever. But, you know, $400 down in the hilltop will get you sex for months. So I would assume it's more likely drugs.
As the captain and I kept discussing the case, we both kept coming back to the money. Where did the money go missing? Where was the location?
I really want to see that those bank transactions. When was the check put in? When was the money put out? Chances are, if you if it's not a direct deposit, then you're going to have to wait 24 hours for it to be cleared. And like you said, I mean, what's the salary? So what's the check that came in, and how much extra came out, and how did it come out, and where did it come out? Because if it's, like I said, I think if you're seeing ATM transactions around the hilltop, there was nothing good happening that night, period. It's sad, and it's sad too that some cases, you know, you take a missing white girl and it's all over the news and everybody and their brother is trying to help solve it. You look at a kid getting killed in the inner city, a young black man, it's just not going to be covered by anybody. There's another case of, here's a guy that's 34 years old and he's from out of town, and that's just why, you know, there's nobody pressing to talk about it. And then Williamsport's so small, it's not like they have like their own news stations to be like, you know, I'm sure they ran a couple articles in their paper, but.
After speaking with the captain, it was just gnawing at me, so I called Jesse's dad, Bill, again, and asked him about the transactions, if he could look up the locations of the money withdrawals. He wasn't able to find the information for me. He told me Jesse did not use an ATM bank card, but rather a prepaid card with money on it. I still truly believe that the money will lead us to the area exactly where Jesse was that night. As I looked at Google Earth, I noticed a casino nearby. I asked the captain his thoughts on this theory.
We're not talking far. And 40 is right there. 40 is West Broad. 40 okay. is major, not major, because you have 270 and 270 is our outer belt. But we're right around where 40 and 270 meet. That's where Hollywood Casino is. We're talking about, this can't be much more than a 10-minute drive. Again, the question is, why is this money coming out of his account? And I'd just be interested where that transaction was made, because I think that would change things. Now, I could have just been, you know, he could have made that transaction in his hometown, you know, because that's what I'd do, right? If I'm going to go to a casino, if I'm going to try to get some drugs, I would be going to my local bank down the street, getting the money out, and then heading out. You know. Well, and the other thing, though, too, is you also have to wonder, like, what kind of dude is this guy? Is he the type of guy that's like, nah, man, this area is not bad, and he's going to make ATM withdrawal, you know, at a gas station in that area? Because you do that, and somebody sees you, you got a gun. You might get a gun pointed at you and going, hey, take out more money. I mean, I'm serious. Right. This is that bad of an area. But the question becomes, like I said, where's the transaction? Where was it made?
There's a lot we don't know about this case because it is an ongoing investigation. There's a big theory that I had to leave out of this episode. It appears to have some truth to it. I did not want to interrupt an ongoing investigation, and I trust the police are working on this lead. I also want to add that the stigmatism around drug use can be extremely negative. I really believe Jesse was a great person who had his demons. If we were all to look at ourselves in the mirror, we would all find imperfections in our day-to-day life and things that we regret from our past. I know I have made decisions that I regret, and I am sure Jesse is no different. Jesse did not deserve to be shot and stuffed in the trunk of his car, and his family does not deserve to go on the rest of their lives wondering who killed their son and if there would ever be justice. If you have any information about Jesse's death, please contact Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers is offering a cash reward for any information leading to the arrest or indictment of the person responsible for this crime. Anyone with information about this crime is asked to call 614-461-8477 or go to their website at www.stopcrime.org and email your tip. Before we get to our unsigned band of the week, I would first like to thank Bill Hauser and his wife Linda for giving me the opportunity to tell Jesse's story. I know this was extremely difficult for them to relive this ordeal, and I am forever grateful that they trusted me enough to help with their search for justice. I would also like to thank the captain taking the time to come on my show and discuss this case. Please check out True Crime Garage if you haven't already. You won't regret it. Please go to iTunes and give me a 5-star review and leave a comment. I will start giving shout-outs on future episodes for those that do. You can find Devil We Know on Twitter at Devil We Know Pod, on Instagram at Devil We Know Podcast, and please like my Facebook page, Devil We Know Podcast. All right, our unsigned band of the week this week is Tiger Mimic. Tiger Mimic is a London-based, by way of New York City, indie rock band with catchy songs that tell sinister tales. Their contact information can be found in the show notes. Please check them out. I know I am. Here's one of their songs, I Took Off My Body. Please check it out. Enjoy.